Teen Watches podcast. On this week's episode, we have another return guest, and if you read the title of the episode, I'm sure you would have guessed it by now, but Brodinky's back, and we have an extra special episode for you guys, where we all run down our new 2021 watch resolutions. This episode was super fun to make, and I hope you guys really enjoy it. So get ready, because it's time for another episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast.
Welcome to episode 49 of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. This is the last ever episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast in 2020. And just everybody was nervous there for a second. Spangler's face got him.
I was so nervous. Oh, gosh.
I don't have to mix this crap anymore. Spangler's dream.
I've got good.
And
podcast falls through. Someone needs a mixer. Let me know.
Yeah, it pays probably better than what we pay.
Yeah, anything. I'll do it.
We figured that what better way to end 2020 than with our most popular guest by downloads so far this year. We got Bro back. Brodinky himself coming from Brodinky HQ. And it looks like Brodinky HQ, which is pretty awesome. Bro, welcome back.
Glad to be back, boys. I got my new digs. I'm in the command center, as I like to call it. So very exciting times for me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's looking way more official than the randomness I got going on behind me. So that's pretty awesome. So as you know, and as all the listeners know, we like to start with a wrist check and a drink check. So bro, what is in the glass and what is on the wrist?
All right. I'm going to start with the wrist check because last time I was on, we happened to go, I don't know if anybody remembers, we happened to go four times chronographs. And I mean, we don't have Buzzy here tonight, but I was thinking by random chance, we might be able to triple up because I know we at least each own one of these. Although I know Spangler has been trying to get out from underneath his. I'm wearing my Grand Seiko SBGA 413. It's the Grand Seiko Season Spring. I got it kind of recently. I know you folks at home can't see, but I'm going to hold it up to the camera here. It's got that crazy pink dial. Just got so many layers of texture on there. It's really insane. And it's most of the time it looks silver, but then you hit that perfect light where it looks pink and you can really see it inside the power reserve. It just looks so cool. And the lightweight of it is great. The size is great. The one curveball is the lugs. They're 21. So, so you can have a hard time finding a strap. I have this one on a D-Lugs Croc strap, and it looks great. It's like a bluish strap, so it really complements the pink very well. And it was, Grand Seiko, I was always kind of not apprehensive about it, but I hadn't gotten into it because people kind of give it the stigma, the Grand Toyota Lexus comparison. And, and I'm a big Seiko head, but I was always kind of put off. I was like, I was never sure if that quality jump that everybody talked about was really that great. But let me tell you, it really is. And I was never really sure which model to get. I was always, kind of gaga over the Snowflake. And when they dropped that Kirizuri Limited was really sick. I saw one in person. My buddy was going to buy it. And he didn't. And he regrets it now. But I saw this one and I was like, this thing is insane. And it was a little bit of good timing. I actually just contacted an AD that I'm kind of buddy-buddy with on my account. And I was like, hey, do you ever get the spring models in? And they were like, well, actually, we just got one in yesterday. And it was like Thanksgiving. So it was like the day before. So it was just like perfect timing for it. And I know a lot of people asked me when I put this up, they said, I thought you weren't trying to buy a watch for a while. And what happened was when I was on with you guys last time, I had a Zenith on order and it was going to be sourced for me. And it was a pretty good discount on it. That's why I was willing to wait for it. And I kind of just got impatient. And that's when I was like, maybe I'll just check out Grand Seiko. It's kind of a similar price range of what I'm trying to spend. So at that point, when I was, saying, on your guys' show and other places, I was saying, oh, I'm kind of having my collection. I'm not trying to add more pieces. I was under the assumption I had this box checked off already and I was just waiting for it. So, people kind of came at me. They were like, dude, I thought you were trying to be abstinent and, you're not trying to, chase after. And I was like, no, I thought I had this done. And then I didn't. So I had to kind of reassess my situation. But this thing is super cool. And If you ever have a chance to check one out in person, any of the seasons are really, really breathtaking. And in the glass, I have, believe it or not, this is actually a returner to the show also. I happen to get for Christmas a bottle of Glenlivet 12 Double Oak, which is what RJ was drinking when he was on with you guys. So when I got it, I was like, I heard this is great. I'm going to check it out. And it really is. It's very mellow. It's flavorful. It's not too harsh on the palate. Not a lot of heat or burning afterwards, but a lot of flavors. And it actually has a really nice aftertaste, which I appreciate in a whiskey. And you can definitely go for a few glasses over a short span, whereas some, you know, sometimes you get blown out in your palate and you're like, oh, I got to switch it up or something. And yeah, so I'm putting out my Super Doc vibes with my Grand Seiko, my Glenlivet 12 Double Oak, and, you know, Grand Seiko, give me a call. Maybe we can make a video. I'll fondle some grapes. It'll be a good time.
I mean, you're vibing pretty hard there. I do like the Santa hat too. That's a fantastic touch. We're recording a few days after Christmas. That's
and it's a good look. Color scheme. The Santa hat's red and white, and that's you know, yeah, perfect.
It goes with Protinky HQ. All right, Spangler, what have you got for us?
Okay, well, I guess when it comes to the drink, and I'm assuming most of you guys have also been doing this, and to the listeners as well, but I've been on a little bit of a Christmas binge when it comes to the alcohol. So I'm taking it a little bit easy today. I'm not drinking any whiskey. I'm drinking just beer, which, of course, is definitely a lot easier to drink and not as much of a bender type beverage. I don't know, you know, quote unquote, I'm taking it easy. But I just finished off and if anybody can find this beer, it's fucking awesome. Victory Golden Monkey. It's a spiced Belgian triple. And I'm like in a weird spiced beer phase, so it's very good. But what I'm drinking right now is also returned to the show, a Rheingeist Cloud Harvest number 3. These IPAs that Rheingeist are putting out are very good. Highly recommend if you're in the Cincinnati area, you can find one. On the wrist, it's my sort of holiday watch. I got this watch 2 years ago for Christmas from my mom, so it's kind of special to me. It's a Squale 1545, which for those that don't know this watch, is your basic sub homage. This one's kind of special though. Came out in 2012, and I've heard numbers as low as numbers in the range of 20 to 30 produced. It's really special because it has a new old stock Squale dial, which is what makes it special, I guess. And I've got it on a Marine National, typical green and yellow strap, and the yellow goes well with the gilt on the dial. So I think I found the perfect strap for this watch. And of course, you guys can't see listening at home, but you guys can see.
Oh yeah,
Goes very good with this watch. Very, very military esque, and I love it. So that's what I'm drinking. That's what I'm wearing.
And I like how you tied back to the last episode, right? Didn't your boy from Paul Weber has ties to Rheingeist, no?
He does. Like somebody, one of his family members works
something
there,
like that. I listened to him a few days ago. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he does. That does make sense. Yeah,
I think his whole Weber side of the family is from Cincinnati, is what he was saying. So he's got like a cousin or somebody like that works at Rheingeist. So that's another good connection. That's a great. Avid listener, one of the few over here, Bro Dinky. All right, so I guess I'll bring it home, and I am going to start with what's on the wrist, just because those of you who've seen the title know that we're getting into some New Year's resolutions, and the drink is a bit of a New Year's resolution tie-in. So I'm going to start with what I've got on. You all have probably seen it a little bit on Instagram, but I have my new Seiko Alpinist, the European limited edition, the Glacier Ice one. I don't know what the reference number is, but it's got the cool emerald green dial. And I actually changed the strap. It is now on the gray Fratello strap that is one of the three that came with it. I was wearing my SPB 149 earlier today on the sailcloth strap that it came with, which was also one of the reasons I was really excited to get it in, because it's like, ooh, that sailcloth's going to look real good on my 149. Yes, this is a European limited edition, and yes, I have a source who I won't name, but I feel people like they might probably guess based on the strap that it's on. I'm not going to get anybody in trouble, hopefully, but this one came, I've always kind of been attracted to the Alpinist, so like when I was able to pick this one up, it just kind of made a lot of sense. The green dial is like green and gray, kind of like in the way the 149 is like blue and gray, and it kind of goes back and forth. And it, I mean, It looks absolutely great on all the straps it came with. It came with two deployant clasps, which was pretty cool. Like, you don't have to switch it off whichever strap you're going on, which is pretty neat. But it looks great on this gray suede. They just absolutely, absolutely nailed it. And then in my glass is another kind of a callback, because I know Spangler's had this before. I actually made myself a Manhattan, and I'm a big rye Manhattan guy. So I've got a bottle of Michter's Rye.
Yeah,
which I know Spangler's a big fan of and has made recommendations.
Is good.
Everyone knows I am hashtag Team Manhattan versus Buzzy, who Buzzy's got the night off tonight. He is hashtag Team Old Fashioned. But that kind of brings me to my first New Year's resolution, which is, this is going to sound strange, taking Spangler's advice more often, especially when it comes to whiskey. Whoa, that'll be my
gosh. Very good.
I'll take more Spangler's advice, which is not something I would usually ever recommend to anybody. But when it comes to whiskey, this guy knows his stuff. So Michter's Rye has been fantastic. So I'm going to take your – and, you know, it goes back to the Suntory Toki whiskey. We talked about that. That was another recommendation you made that I've really enjoyed. So I'm gonna make a conscious effort to listen to Spangler on whiskey choices. Whiskey choices. Just want to make that clear. Whiskey choices going forward in 2021.
Wow, I feel so honored. I haven't really written a speech right now for this, but I'd like to thank our friend Ryan, who helps me with the whiskey. I'd like to thank myself for drinking a little bit too much and being able to try all this stuff. Like, I have so many other people that I'm forgetting of who to thank right now, but this is making my night. Okay, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah. I figured you weren't, which is why I wanted to go last and save the drink for last, because I figured that was a great segue into the New Year's resolutions. But I think, are we doing a fresh forum find? I think we all have one. Everybody remember that segment? That's another New Year's resolution. We should do a fresh forum find more often, because we haven't done one in like 3 or 4 months. So I'll go ahead and go first, since I know I have one. I like to go on Watch Recon. But I think this is technically on Watch You Seek. And I have everyone knows I'm a big James Bond fan. And even though this isn't technically a Bond watch per se, it's this Omega Seamaster 300 Master Coaxial, the 41 millimeter. It looks a lot like the one that was in the movie Spectre. This one, however, is two-tone. It's the steel and Sedna Gold model, which I'm kind of going through a bit of a two-tone phase. Like, I don't actually have any, but the Oris with the nice warm bronze tones, like it's one of those things where I'm like, I could be all about a two-tone root beer GMT Master.
Oh yeah.
I could be all about this watch. And the thing about this one is, it's at Main Street Watches in, I think it's in Alabama somewhere. It seems almost like it's a used stock from an AD or a dealer of some sort. Box papers, you know, full set. I got the picture. Obviously, do your own research, because, you know, I looked at this. In fairness, I looked at it last night. It looks like it's got all the links. And the thing that's cool about this one is I don't really know what these MSRP for, but I do know that the stainless steel version's MSRP is about $6,500, give or take. I feel like that's the MSRP for the steel version of this watch. This dealer has it, or this seller has it, reduced to $6,390 for the two-tone version. PayPal or wire, buyer coverage fees, whatever, insured shipping. So do your research on this, but this is a two-tone Seamaster 300 for less than MSRP on a steel model. Just based on market value of the metals alone, that's a steal. So that's my fresh form find. Bro, do you want to go next with our little input?
Sure. I'm doing sort of a proxy fresh form find here. So Buzzy, in his infinite wisdom, sent us one in the event he wasn't going to be here. And it's on the Bay. So, you know, buyer beware, but, but it's, appropriately with my wrist check, it's a Grand Seiko, SBGN 003. It's the 39 millimeter. It almost looks like the Explorer 2, the Grand Seiko version. They sometimes people give them flack for copying out the Explorer 2. It doesn't look that much like it, but that's what people call it. The Explorer 2 lookalike. It's one of their quartz models. GMT, again with the weird lug widths, it's 19 millimeter. So if that's not your thing, or you're not willing to go down that avenue, maybe not for you. But the price, $2,580, MSRP is around, or at least the going market value is around $3,200 normally. So you get a nice discount there. Box papers from an AD, in Japan. The only the only really thing you might want to look into here is it's set for a 6.5 inch wrist. So either you're going to have to track down some links, or if you got that kind of wrist, go for it. But, you know, the sellers got really good feedback, almost 99%. So it might be something you're into. And, you know, when you're shopping on the Bay, you can get yourself into credit with trouble with PayPal credit. So why not?
All right, Spangler, bring us home.
Well, this one will hit close to home, because we had this brand on just a few weeks ago, I want to say now, but it's a Laurier Hyperion, their GMT, of course. Ooh. Also on the Bay. And if you're like me and have been scouring, and of course, if you're like me and missed out on their Hyperion release, they have plenty of them popping up on Watch Patrol and Watch You Seek, I want to say. Is the other one I found some on? I don't know. Doesn't matter. This one is on the Bay right now, currently for $510. I'm sure it's going to shoot up here, but it's got 4 days left. So by the time you hear about this, you will still have time to go and bid on it. And, you know, box papers, all of it looks to be brand new. Seller is 100%. So
there you go.
Do your research, do your due diligence. But if you're in the market for a Laurier GMT, this is probably the way to go. And who knows, you may be bidding against me. I'm still up there. I'm letting it out because New Year's resolution is to let out my good watch finds for people that that may want them, because I'm too indecisive when it comes to it half the time. So I'm being, you know, a good patron saint of giving away good eBay finds.
Well, in fairness, we'll have to see how good of a fresh form find that was by day four from now when it sells for over MSRP.
Fingers crossed. One of them just sold for under MSRP, so I'm hoping that it doesn't go too crazy.
They are. I mean, we've not seen those in person, but we've handled a couple of Lauriers, and they are, for the price point, they're pretty fantastic. Yeah. I know one of our other listeners who, in a comment today, I dubbed her the queen of micro brands, because Debbie's got, she at Case and Crown, she's got like, geez, she told me she's got like five brews, couple Lauriers, a Manta now, she's got a couple Astor and Banks. Like she is. So that gets me to another one of my resolutions. You know, one of my favorite things that we've kind of done, and Bro has kind of been a little bit of a guest in this vein as well, is we got a little bit into your collection. And I've really enjoyed getting to know other people in the hobby. So I think one of the things that we want to do a little bit more consistently with the podcast next year, and this could be a resolution, is have more listeners, folks in the watch fam on just to talk about what got them into watches and what got them collecting. And I think that would be a heck of an interesting interview with her about all of the micro brands that she has and what kind of got her down that rabbit hole. And, you know, what was the watch that got it started? So like, I think that's something that I think we will do a little bit more going into next year with the podcast, is getting to know more folks, know more of our seven listeners about the watches that got them started, where their collection is now, what their, I don't have a collecting philosophy. It's about, so just like what piques your interest and where you're going next. Like it's always fun to have that conversation. And I think a lot of us, since this is can be a rather expensive hobby, I enjoy living vicariously through folks who are like, all right, I'm in the market. What should I say? Oh, you got to look at it. Like, you know, I'm not spending my money, but I can spend yours.
Absolutely.
So, that's the fun part. It's the fun part. So it's good to get to know other folks like that. So that's my second resolution, I guess, of this episode, is more collector conversations and not necessarily with folks who have 50,000 Instagram followers. Not that there's anything wrong with that by any means. Like we had a great conversation with RJ. He was great. He was way more down to earth than I was expecting. It was so much fun chatting with him. But I also think chatting with that Case and Crown will be a lot of fun as well. So that's where we're going. What about you, bro? What's first on your list?
I think my New Year's resolution, one of my big ones, and I've been kind of harping on this for a while, I think it's one that a lot of people can speak to, is sort of trying to collect with a purpose, or like just like a driving force behind what you're doing. This hobby gets so, like you said, it's so expensive so fast, and it's very hype driven and very drop release. And just trying to be more of a conscious collector, I think, is a really good New Year's resolution for all of us collectors out there. I know I personally have tried to start narrowing things down to what I want versus what I really need to have in my collection, as far as what I want to do and what I want to wear on a daily basis. I really don't like when I am not wearing certain watches and I can't find an opportunity to wear them. Like, that bothers me also. I don't dress up a lot, so if I were to get a real traditional dress watch, it would be probably more of a versatile one, like this Grand Seiko. It's plenty fancy. It can dress up, but I also feel like I could wear this on a regular basis and not feel out of place, like, as opposed to wearing, I don't know, like a fully gold Rolex President or something. Might look a little out of place if I'm wearing it with a hoodie. Maybe not nowadays, you know, with the whole stealth wealth thing and everything. But so, you know, not chasing releases, trying to resist the fear of missing out and keeping up with the Joneses, because that's a big one too. You know, this hobby becomes a pissing contest very fast, and it becomes a haves versus have-nots. And, you know, everybody who gets in it, either a brand or a specific watch that drops that's very hot, all of a sudden, next thing you know, there's a hashtag, you know, blank fam or whatever, you know, something squad. And you're like, oh, you know, we're all bros because we have the same watch. And it gets very tribal. And so it's hard to resist that, you know what I mean? And so I think it's good to kind of look in the mirror and find out who you are as a collector and what you like and what you like to wear and how you like to wear them and what situations you wear things in. Even what complications you like or certain styles or, you know, maybe different dial types and things like that. Just find out what you like, stick with that, and just try to make a thoughtful collection, I guess. And also collecting within your means. That's a big one, because especially when you don't realize that when they're dropping $700-$900 Seikos in limited quantities, and you're like, oh, I can do that. And next thing you know, 4 or 5 later, you're like, oh, it's like $4,000 or $5,000. And it's kind of crazy. And I know, you know, you went on a little spending spree at the end of the year there, and it adds up quick. It really does. And when I first got into this hobby, that's what happened to me. Was it first started with Seikos, and then, you know, you do the typical thing where you start flipping and buying and selling. And then last time I told you I got into that Pelagos, right after that, I was so impressed with it, I got into a North Flag, like, right away. And then next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I kind of spent a lot of money. Like, what did I do? You know, it adds up quick, and you don't even realize. And so collecting within your means is another big one. Some people like to say act your wage. It's a little pretentious for me, but I it's a good message overall. And, you know, it's okay to have dreams, but be realistic. So, you know, I'll be chasing that gold Vacheron perpetual calendar. And, whoa, dude, that thing is so great, but there's no way unless I hit the lottery, I'm not picking that up. You know what I mean? But
it's like, what, like an $85,000 watch? It's so good, though. It is. I mean, it is
beautiful. And I hate to say for the money, it's a pretty solid pickup, but 85 grand, put my kid through college.
As insane as that sounds, yes. Oh man, no, that is a fan. Oh man, that's such a good looking watch. Yeah, no, I mean, I will say, like, I did go on a bit of a spending spree. A certain piece left the collection, and we haven't really talked about it on the podcast. We don't really need to get too much further into it. Mike mentioned it on an episode of Fratello Watches. A certain piece left my collection, and that may have funded a lot of what came in. So
it makes it a little more excusable. You know what I mean?
It does, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's one of those where, you know, and I don't know if that's necessarily I'm kind of in your same camp. Like, we haven't done a fresh form find, and because to be honest, like, I haven't really been looking at anything, and which is, I don't want to say a weird place to be, but like, I get to the point now where I'm trying to figure out what watch I haven't worn in a while. And it's to the point where I've got a pretty good sized collection. I mean, I know a lot of people who have significantly more than I do, and that's just fine. I mean, but like, I try to rotate through them, and then it's like, you know, I gotta figure out, I'm gonna start just wearing whatever watch I feel like wearing. That's another resolution, I guess, is one, you know, like you said, be a little bit more thoughtful in what you're buying. And, you know, I think I'm at a pretty good point. My wife is telling me I'm at a pretty good point. But also, like, it's to the point where I can't, you know, there's only so many you can wear in a day or a week. And it's, you know, it gets to the point where I'm sitting here, I'm standing at the watch box, and this is going to sound ridiculous. I was like, I don't know which one I want to wear today. And then it's like, well, but I'd like to wear that, but I wore that one yesterday. Like, wear it 2 days in a row. Doesn't matter. Just wear it 2 days in a row. And part of me is that self-conscious being like, well, I have these watches, like, I should be wearing all of them. And it's like, you don't have to wear all of them. You don't have to rotate through them every day. Like, if I want to go on a 3 or 4 day stretch with my Omega Seamaster, I should just be able to do that. And, you know, I just wear what I want to wear on any given day, unless it is grotesquely against what I have to go and do that day. Like, I'm not going to wear, you know, the fancy watch out to go dig in the garden or whatever. So like, whatever, like that, I won't be doing that. I have Casios for that. But like, other than that, like just, I'm just going to go and say whatever speaks to me. Just going to grab it. Like, let's just go with that. Wear what you buy, what you want to buy, collect in a way that's financially responsible and having a purpose, but also just once you have your collection, just wear what you want to wear. Just don't feel self-conscious about what you're pulling out of the watch box each day.
Yeah, I think that's great too. I think that's a tough thing to face also. And especially when you're dealing with watches and a significant price point is, you know, you're a little bit in finance from what I know. Like you start to almost picture like dead money. And that's what I don't like. And that's when I know when it's time to move something is when I really haven't worn it in a long time. And I'm like, that's a significant amount of money just wasting away over there. And that's when I think I know I have to get rid of it. But like, I hate to look at things in money terms, but we live in the real world, you know, unless you're so opulent where you don't have to worry about that. And that's fine. But I think it's okay to put a watch aside for a couple weeks and then maybe wear it a week straight. I think that's cool. As long as you're wearing it, you know, do your thing, you know, whatever your daily taste is, go for it.
Yeah. What have you got, Spangler? You look like you want to say something.
Well, I mean, I'll piggyback off of what you said. I've, you know, unfortunately was not able to pre-arrange my New Year's resolutions for this episode, but I've written down a good few since we've been started talking. And I'll piggyback off of you, Spence. You said you wear what you want to wear, and I like that resolution. And if anybody has known me, I don't know if any of my friends even listen to this podcast, but I've been through a lot in 2020. It's been a bunch of nonsense in my life, which is always good because my life is governed by nonsense. And so I told myself I have this stupid mustache for whatever reason. And I'm like, you know what? 2021 is going to be all about this stupid mustache. Also, for whatever reason, I'm into bolo ties right now. And me and Spence were joking on the show earlier before we went on air that you never know what I'm going to wear. So there's probably more bolo ties appearances coming up for everyone and guests.
Which is great.
They're nonsense and I love it. But speaking of wearing what you want to wear, I think 2021 is going to be the year that I finally accept who I truly am. And that's being a Panerai douchebag. And I can't wait for it. I have this watch. And of course, everyone's heard this, right? It was a hand-me-down from my grandfather, right? And I just have for the longest time. I'm like, I'm not a Panerai person. I hate it. I hate everything the brand stands for, all the stereotypes behind this brand. And I went online today. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to buy some like 24mm straps. I'm going to swap this stuff out all the time. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be smoking a cigar, drinking some type of whiskey. And that's going to be me in 2021, at least for like the first month. I think that's what I'm going to be doing. And so hold me to this, everyone on the podcast, all the listeners. If I'm not wearing that Panerai on every episode, at least for the first month, call me out on it, because that's what I'm planning on doing, at least for the first part of 2021, is accepting that watch is in my box and I need to wear it.
God, I feel like we need to tag Scottish Watches in this one. You're going to just become Rick Jr. What do you want, Panerai? But it's the left-handed version.
It is. It's the LHC, the Pan 219 is what it is. 2012.
I love this. I'm a big fan. For those of you who can't see him, which is everybody but me and Bro, he does have on a turtleneck sweater and a flat-brimmed hat today too. So like, Spangler is a man of mystery. Like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know when he's going to sign in to record. You never know whether or not we're getting, like, he does always get him edited by Tuesday. I'll give him credit for that. Like, they don't call him Evan gets it done by Tuesday Spangler for nothing.
It always goes up. My outfit's always a mystery. Or if I even show up, there was definitely one episode where I just went AWOL.
That did happen.
I will fully admit
we didn't talk about it, but he outed himself.
I did go AWOL one episode. It's been a while and I've had a few beers, so it's okay.
Like 6 months. Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. It was fine. He's the young one we all live vicariously through on this podcast.
Too many day drinking cocktails. Ooh. You caught me.
It was a Saturday. Yeah. It's fine. That's a good one. I'm looking forward to these Panerai days. I feel like you could go in a whole new direction. That mustache is going to take you places, man.
This mustache, I'm going to start, of course, like chain smoking cigars, just be drinking whiskey all the time. I feel like that's what you do when you own a Panerai, right?
Well, funny you should say that. I actually owned a Pan 560 for a little bit. And I'm going to say I enjoyed my ownership experience. It's just, you know, like I said, when it's time to move on, it's time to move on. And I actually still have a 24mm strap left. So if you want it there, Spangler, I'll send it to you. Just let me hit me with your info. Ooh.
Yeah.
They're absolutely not cheap, so, you know.
Enjoy. No, they're not. But I'll certainly hit you up for that. Cool. Give you some love.
That's great. Matchmaking on this episode with 24-millimeter straps. Not a euphemism for anything, folks. Not a euphemism for anything. All right, bro. What you said you had like four written down. You came well more prepared than we did.
Yeah, a mantra I live by, somebody passed me a long time, was if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And so I prepare. the same way I try to knock my memes out the night before, I at least try to bring some things to the table and not shoot from the hip too much. So one thing that's always kind of irked me, and my friends are very guilty of this because they do it whenever I know one of us gets a new watch. It's not that it's weird. It's just it's always been a little uncomfortable when people congratulate you for a new watch. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, oh, that's cool. That's great. Whatever. But when they're like, oh, congratulations, we have to go have a beer or whatever. I'm like, all right, it's not that serious. Like, it's not that I don't think it's proper. It's just I feel like it's almost like an enabling behavior. Like it encourages the buying, and you know, you want to be congratulated, and it feeds into that addictive personality that all of us have in us as watch collectors that got us into this in the first place, that, you know, where social media is kind of like a drug where, oh, I can post this new watch. It's going to be great. I'm going to get a lot of likes. I can do hashtags. You know, I'm going to have a lot of new content. So like it's a vicious cycle. And so I feel like it's not that I don't want to show people love for getting their new watches, or I honestly more want to know why they got it or why they added it or what their thinking was behind, you know, even approaching said watch. But the whole like, oh, congrats to my guy, he bought a watch. I'm like, it's trading paper for an object. It's not such an accomplishment. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. It's just, it's always been a little bit weird to me when my buddies are like, yo, congrats, we have to go celebrate. I'm like, no, it's, I don't think a celebration's in order. Just, you know, I'll show it to you when we hang out and it'll be cool. But, you know, it's especially in, tough times like this, I think we need to look out for each other and financially and mentally. And so maybe not feeding into that whole, you know, like I said, the addictive side of this hobby might be a little better for everybody. So I think I would like to just maybe stop playing into that. Feeding into the buying ego or whatever you want to call it, where you just keep adding pieces and keep throwing them on the internet and getting likes and things. And it just adds up and it snowballs. And so I think that's one thing I want to try to avoid myself is enabling people who maybe are just falling into that trap of buying. And even if they're selling off pieces and stuff, even the shipping, it gets expensive and you wind up losing a ton of money overall or taking a hit on used market. Like it's not a great way to go. I mean, even if you're doing limited pieces, a lot of times you break even, but it gets dangerous. And I, from my own personal experiences where I've realized I've burned through a bunch of money at some point, I'm like, dude, I gotta stop this. You know, I think a healthier ecosystem in that regard will make for a better hobby overall.
That kind of goes with your collecting with a purpose. Right. You're really, and that's, I mean, that's speaking to me a lot. Like it's, I do think that it's kind of why a couple of mine are more of the, you know, I don't say like being satisfied, but just like, you know, have a reason to buy that next piece, you know, have something that you're working towards. And I mean, yeah, it's not a congratulations. Like, oh, cool. Like this is the piece you've been actually, you know, eyeing on it. I get why this makes sense. It's the whole conversation about why that one specifically versus, you know, just why a new watch, because I think you're right. I think the whole new watch alert hype thing that we all kind of get into, oh, it's a new watch. Oh, cool. Congrats. You got a new watch. Like, yeah, but it's like, yeah, but why did you get that one? And I mean, I don't want to say that like, I feel like people don't really care. It's like, cause everybody has their own taste, but yeah, you're right. That is, we kind of always talk about it's more the people in the hobby at this point that make it more interesting than the actual watches themselves. I mean, yeah, the watches are cool and that's, we're all interested in the mechanics and the design and all that other stuff. But like, it does come down to getting to know some people who we consider friends at this point. And you're right. It's cool. You got a new watch. Why'd you get that one? And I mean, I don't want to say that that's like a bad question to ask, but somebody like, well, why are you asking? It's like, no, I just want to know, like, why this one? Why not that one? Like it's a way to get to know people. We should all, I think maybe that's it kind of goes back to the whole idea of having more collectors on and getting to know them. It's, I want to know more about you and why you like that one than I do about, like, cool, you got that watch. Let's talk about why you got that watch and not like from a inquisitive perspective. I want to get to know you better. I want to know why you like that watch. I think that's a good way to think about it. Like, let's get to know each other more.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like when I first got into this hobby, I thought talking watches was the coolest thing because you get to see people who are usually famous or celebrities showing off what they have. And originally I started watching it because I wanted to see crazy blingy pieces that people had. And then after a while, I started watching it to get to know the person as opposed to their collection, which was even cooler to me, which I think is almost like the rewarding part of this hobby is you get to know a person as opposed to just the shiny pieces of metal that, you know, they wear on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think that it's been kind of a cool release for me, at least, during this crazy year of 2020, which, you know, the majority of this podcast that since we started has been done during COVID. We've gotten to meet some pretty neat people and talk to them more than once. Like we've met some really cool people like Bro, like the folks from Laurier, like RJ, like people we would have never probably crossed paths with in person if that was how we were, you know, going about the podcast or still engaging with this hobby. I mean, I love all the bros from Red Bar Cincy because we still on occasion find ways to meet and check stuff out just because somebody's got something new that we haven't seen or, mm-hmm. you know, because we have a couple of guys who get some interesting pieces and it's like, hey, I've never seen one of those. Can I come see? Yeah, we, you know, and I will say that is something, I don't want to say necessarily congratulations, but like, hey, if you're free, I want to come see that because I've never seen one of those in person. I want to see that. That is something that's neat, but you also get to hang out with your buddy and have a beer. So it's like, I have a buddy who's got something that I've never seen in the flesh. Let's go hang out. But then I'm also hanging out with my buddy. I get to see it for 5 minutes. And we talk about other stuff. But I mean, like that's been the cool thing is getting to know all the people behind the Instagram accounts, the brands, the, you know, our buddies down at the AD, like we, you know, it's become more of a socialization or a social thing now than it has, you know, ever before. Like I enjoyed our in-person meetups. That was neat. But like, you know, we've got that group chat is insanely active. You know, I mean, we had one for the last couple of weeks to prepare for this episode. I mean, there's messages that go back and forth, you know, quite a bit during the day, but it's a connection. It's a personal connection to folks, which is, I think what we all enjoy out of this, just as much as the, you know, the shiny metal, tiny machines on our wrist. Like that's really more what it's all about. It's about connecting people. So, I mean, I've got another really random, interesting one, and it kind of goes along with my very first one.
Go for it.
We met at a Whiskey and Watches event. It's in the name of the podcast. We do a drink check every week about what we're drinking. But it's been pretty rare that we actually go at all in depth on opinions or, you know, about the whiskey. Like, it's something that most of us enjoy on the podcast or listeners. I mean, it's something that's interesting. If anything, it's having just as big of a moment, you know, in the United States now as mechanical watches are.
Sure.
So like, I mean, we joke about not being able to find Buffalo Trace, a $25 bottle of bourbon that's from an hour and 20 minutes away from where I currently sit. That's a supply and demand issue. Does that remind you of a certain brand with a five-pointed crown that you can't get, you know, just a regular dive watch from them anymore? Like there's a lot of good watches. There's a lot of good whiskey. You know, we should feature the whiskey a little bit more. We have a couple of avenues that we may pursue that. So there's some stuff coming, but I think that's another thing we're going to talk about is we're going to get a little bit more in depth on the whiskey. Cause that is a very fascinating product as well. A little bit more chemically versus mechanically from that perspective. But I think we'll talk a little bit more about whiskey in 2021, which, why not? It's my podcast. It's our podcast. We do what we want.
It's in the name of it. Why don't we do it more? Exactly.
It's in the name.
Exactly.
It's first in the name. It's the first word. Why not? All right, Spangler, what have you got?
Okay. Well, I mean, if y'all have listened to the podcast before, you know I've mentioned this a few times, and this was when I was writing down these list of New Year's resolutions. This was the first one that popped in my mind. And if there's one thing in the watch world that I love more than anything else, it's a Jubilee bracelet. I think they're the superior bracelet above all else. Come at me. I don't care about Oyster. I don't care about, you know, beads of rice. Get out of here. The Jubilee is the superior bracelet for so many different reasons. And so also, so this is why 2021 will be the year of the Jubilee for me. I'm going to find more Jubilee bracelets to fit more of my watches. More straight-end link Jubilees, more different in-link Jubilees, you know, what have you. Just as long as I can throw them on a watch, I will be happy. And some people are like, oh, you can't wear Jubilees to the pool or, you know, anything sporty. Bull crap. You can wear it any way you want to wear it. It's the best bracelet. It's so comfortable. If people out there, if you have not tried on a Jubilee bracelet and felt how comfortable they are, then don't even like come at me until you do. Secondly, they're the best design bracelet out there. Like the Oyster is super simple, what have you, very utilitarian. The Jubilee is just designed so well. It looks so good on like everything. Like I love putting the Jubilee. My favorite strap combination is Jubilee on the Black Bay 58. I love it. And people are like, oh, that's a sports watch. That's a dive watch. Why the hell are you putting a Jubilee on it? And I remember Chase, I said this, I was wearing this watch. And Chase, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you're not, but if you are, I was like, yeah, I have the Black Bay 58 on the Jubilee. And he just like did this look of like disgust. And I took it personally. And it's funny because I'll go on like Tudor's pages and a lot of people will put 58, Black Bay 58s on Jubilees or Rolex. And I'll just see people just like shit in the comment sections like, oh, this looks disgusting. Blah, 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 blah. Like I never put a dive watch on a Jubilee. Well, if you've never worn one or tried it on Jubilee, please do. I hope, and also I hope to change this. I'll piggyback off what I said off this resolution. I hope to change people's minds about the Jubilee bracelet in 2021. Because I think I need to spread the gospel. That's what I need to do.
The SKX comes on a Jubilee.
Yes,
it does. Yeah. I was going to say, like I've got my last watch that's incoming because it hasn't been assembled yet from our buddy Rick at Cincinnati Watch Company. His diver comes on a Jubilee. It's insanely comfortable.
It is.
I mean, the prototype one was at least. So like, I mean, yeah, the SKX comes on a jangly Jubilee. Like the old GMT Master, the new GMT Master too. Like they all came on an option of a Jubilee or an Oyster. So like,
so good.
Yeah. Do you think you can source a 24 millimeter Jubilee?
Trust me, I've looked. I have looked. I have looked for the 24 millimeter. I've got to find one, but Zach from Cincy Strapco, if you're listening and you want to help me out here and help all other Panerai owners out and, you know, maybe make a 24 millimeter Jubilee, maybe let's make this happen in 2021.
I will say the Panerai bracelets, the stock ones don't look very good.
They're awful. They're hideous. Disgusting.
They're so bad. Would a Pan look good? I mean, I could see a Radiomir on a Jubilee. I could see that. I don't know about your Luminor. It'd be interesting looking, I can tell you that. I don't know if I'd like it.
It would definitely be interesting. And you sent that thing in a group chat probably about a month or so ago. I don't know. It's been a while. But it was a Pam on a shark mesh bracelet, and it looked so good.
Yeah,
on that bracelet,
I could see that.
I'm all about like trying out different bracelets. I know people are like strap heads, and they love swapping out straps on watches. I'm the same way, except for bracelets. I have so many different just straight end nonsense bracelets. I love to strap on like swap out on watches. So I'm a bracelet head. I love like finding janky old flat end link bracelets and trying them out. Yeah. Love it. I need more straps.
24 millimeter Jubilee.
Yeah.
Okay. Any of the seven of you listening, can you Photoshop this for us? Like, I'd love to see what a Panerai would look on a Jubilee bracelet.
We all would.
Tag us or something. I'm sure no one's going to be able to do this, but if you could, like, I would be really, really curious as to see what this would look like.
Panerai. Yeah, definitely the Radiomir. I could see Radiomir on a Jubilee.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about your left-handed Luminor. That'd be very interesting.
It's already a very strange watch. And like it also make it a little bit more stranger, which I kind of like in a weird way. I like strange watches.
I mean, you'd be leaning in really hard. Like if you're going all on Panerai, you'd need the soul patch to pull that off too. Like not just the mustache, you need the soul patch underneath your, I mean, just saying.
Unfortunately, my facial fescue is not as good as Bro's. So I unfortunately cannot, I have nothing underneath the lower lip, which is what it is. So the soul patch is out of the question.
Yeah. Darn.
I can grow a subpar mustache and mutton chops. That's about all I got.
Bro, you have a couple more?
Yeah.
Or one more?
So this actually kind of piggybacks on Spangler. I think 2021, you know, we're as progressive of a society as ever. I think we need to get away from the I'll throw the air quotes on that too. No, well, I think we need to get away from the groupthink that we kind of have in this hobby, in that, like I said before, it's very tribal, it's very brand loyal. And the higher you go, the more snobby it gets. And I think we live in a time where it's more acceptable than ever to be yourself and be who you want to be. And so no matter how weird you want to get, you know, you want to throw a Panerai on a Jubilee, go ahead. You know, so I think we need to go get away from that groupthink, get away from the whole, like, it's very prevalent on the forums, especially if you have the nerve to venture into the Rolex forums. Ooh. God help you. Ooh. But like, you go into the opinions on Omega thread, my own bad.
I love this.
But you go in there and it's brutal. You have to stop yourself from responding almost. But wear what you like. It's a reflection of your own personal style. It's you know, you're not connected. Just because you own something from a brand doesn't mean you're connected to them. Doesn't mean that defines you as a person. Wear what you like. Wear what kind of fits you. And, you know, as long as you like it, who cares? And I was actually having a conversation with Stateside Sam from Time of the Week, Sam in her Watchbox, that I like having conversations about collections with the female members of the Watch Fam more, because they don't get into that macho pissing contest stuff. They seem to buy what they like and they stick to their guns and they don't need to answer to anybody. They're like, I like it. I bought it. I wear it. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's exactly who I want to be, you know, in my next life. But it's nice to get away from that whole, like, oh, you have to own a Rolex. You have to, everybody should own a Speedy, right? Like, I think we should get away from that. And you could swim in whatever pool you want, whether you're whatever price range. If you're just a chrono guy, be just a chrono guy. Just buy what you like, wear what you like. And I would say the only caveat there is, you know, if you're going to have an out there style, be a good sport about it. You know, some people are going to razz you about it. If you're going to wear bunch straps, I'm going to throw a jab at you. We're going to have a good laugh. It's nothing against you personally. I don't think they're that weird. I just like to joke about them because they're a little like steampunky and they look like, you know, they belong in like some past century. But, or, you know, if you have that, Ulysse Nardin with the, I don't know what you want to call it, the fornication dial where it chimes and people are going at it, you know, be prepared for that. Somebody's going to throw some darts at you for that, but have fun with it, own it more importantly than anything, and enjoy. You know, you buy watches to enjoy them yourself, not for anybody else. And if you are buying them for anybody else, you're buying them for the wrong reason. And so more than anything, own your style, embrace it, and just enjoy what you wear. And that's it. You know, I think in 2021, I think that's the motto.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about that a little bit on here. Like, we've talked about watches that aren't necessarily for us, but I'm glad they exist. Like, we got really upset about the fact, and now granted it is Stateside now, but we were like, some of us are big, actually all three of us are big Tudor fans. We're like, hey, they have this Tudor Royal come in. Like, why are you not going to bring it to the States? Like, I may not buy one, but I want to see it in person at least. Like, this is a watch that intrigues me. Why wouldn't you bring it here? Like, more choice is always better. It may not be for me. Like, I think that's one of the things that bugs me the most about. There's really two things I don't like about this hobby, and it's people who don't respect other people's tastes and know that it's okay to have other people's tastes, and Jacob & Co. Obviously, I'm joking, everybody. Like, that's not for me. If it's for you and you're a billionaire and you want to have four different time zones on your watch, that's fine. It's from our group chat earlier. We were joking about something, and I threw the old Austin, yeah. That was from Goldmember, yep. Right? There's two things I hate most in this world: people who are intolerant of other people's culture and the Dutch. Which,
yep.
I love RJ. You know, love Fratello, love RJ. So don't even come at me about that. That's a quote from a movie, folks. Sir Michael Caine said that, right, as Austin Powers' dad. So that might be the first time we've referenced Austin Powers on the show, which is strange because the first one and the third one are great. The second one's just a bit too much. Just a bit too much. The first one's really good though. Like, I hadn't watched it in a while, and my wife and I watched it about a year ago, and you're like, this is really it's funny and it's self-aware about how it
is. Yeah,
the second one gets weird, and the third one The third one, which let's all not forget, tying it back to watches, Ben Clymer consulted for Jay-Z, who's married to Beyonce, who played Foxy Cleopatra in the early 2000s. Yeah, it's bringing it all back. Yeah, it's just a fun one. You know, and Michael Caine, Beyonce Knowles, there's a plug. Go watch Austin Powers Gold Member. I will also never forget, like, the third or fourth episode of Fratello Watches, Fratello Radio with Mike and RJ. One of the questions that Mike got asked was, does he get RJ to say, "I love gold"? RJ had no clue as to why. And Mike thought it was great. He goes, "Yeah, you're not going to get why this is funny, but somebody's asking, can you say, 'I love gold'?" And he's like, "Sure." And he did it. And he was like, "What is it?" He goes, "It's from a movie. You haven't seen it. Don't worry." So I laughed. So I was mowing the lawn and that stripe was a little bit off because I was laughing. But I mean, I guess that's the other thing too. And I've tried a little bit more at the end of this year to kind of do this, but I think kind of going off of what Bro's been saying a little bit too, you know, own your own style, wear what you like, buy within your means. Like just let's not take this all that seriously. I mean, the Rolex forums can be, you know, ripe for that. I mean, Rolex makes a great product. I used to own one. Like it was fantastic. Do I miss it sometimes? Yes. But then I put on the El Primero and I'm like, ooh, this is also really good. Like there's so many great watches out there. Like this is a fun hobby. Let's be honest. These are all luxury goods. Our cell phones keep better time. I have a couple Casios that probably keep better time than a good number of my mechanical watches. To my grandpa's point from 15 years ago or from 15 months ago, isn't quartz the latest? Yes. Quartz is the latest. It's more accurate. We've talked about this ad nauseum. This is supposed to be a fun hobby. I enjoy it. I can tell Bro enjoys it. I know Spangler enjoys it. Buzzy likes it. All the people we've talked to have been great people. They really enjoy this hobby. Like, it's not that serious. Like, it shouldn't be. I mean, shoot, we joked about it a couple weeks ago. Tudor came out with a blue version of a watch Spangler has, and it won an award. How serious can that be? Like, it's the same watch, but it's blue. Hey, an award. Cool. Like, it's a nice watch. I like it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm warming up to the Tudor Black Bay 58 blue quite a bit. I'm not saying I would buy one. I'm not knocking anybody who's bought one. It's a great watch. If you like the Black Bay 58 and you like the color blue, it's probably the perfect watch for you. It's a great watch. Is it an award-winning watch, though? I don't know about that. Like, let's not take, like, this isn't, it's a serious hobby to a degree because it costs a lot of money to a degree. It doesn't have to. Like, I've got some great watches that I gravitate towards in my watch box that are $500-$600 or less. They're fantastic pieces. I mean, we all joke, like, I think one of your best memes is the, it's from, I didn't play the game, but it's Legend of Zelda. Here, take this. You'll need, you know, it's this SKX. Like, everybody cut their teeth on some sort of a diver. Like, there are so many great watches at a bunch of different price points. Yeah, some of the lower end Seikos don't really pass good QC, but, you know, we're okay with that. Like, there's so many good things. Like, this isn't supposed to be a serious hobby. Don't take it too seriously, because if you do, then you start to get, like, you fall down into a couple of different rabbit holes and you're that guy on Rolex forums that is, well, actually,
yeah,
you know, that's not, you know, nobody wants to be that guy. I mean, we joke, like, we put it in the, we were very clear at the very beginning. We enjoy interacting with members. So please add us as much as you want. Like, we joke about that, but we are enthusiasts. We enjoy this. We don't claim to be experts. We will do some modicum of Google searching if we're interested in something. But, like, this is a hobby that we all kind of fell into and we really enjoy. I don't think we all profess to be like there are people who are truly experts in this stuff. That's great. Good for them. I'm not one of those. I enjoy this. And I think we kind of talk about it. Like, the moment you start to question whether or not you're enjoying it, I guess that's the time to kind of take a step back and really reevaluate. I guess maybe that's another resolution, because we've had it's in the group text. We've all had that kind of moment. Like, hey, am I really in this for the right reasons? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, you have that question. It's an expensive hobby. There's like, am I really in this for the right reasons? Am I really, like, I really enjoy what I get to do every week talking with different people about these crazy little machines. But every once in a while, like, wow, am I really doing this for the right reasons? Do I really enjoy this? And ultimately the answer always comes back to yes, it's a hobby. It's fun. I enjoy it. I'm still in it for the right reasons. But I mean, we joke about Hodinkee a little bit here and there, with some of the things that they do and they don't do or whatever. But I mean, I think the article that I read about their new investors that Ben wrote, I can kind of see where he's at after 10 years doing what he's done. He's turned it into a heck of a business. Houdini is the name in watch media right now.
Absolutely.
See how he wasn't enjoying it anymore after, I mean, there, like, I've done a podcast, a low rent podcast at that, for a year. And there have been times I've questioned how much I really am enjoying this hobby anymore. I mean, I can't imagine the pressure running Houdini for a decade, now 11 or 12 years, and being like, hey, I've got people whose livelihoods are at stake. Like, there's a lot of pressure. I can get why he maybe wasn't enjoying it anymore. Like, if you ever get to that point, you know, take a step back and reevaluate. I mean, go back to what got you into this in the first place. Like, you know, stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Don't, you know, own your own style, do what you like, wear what you want, buy what you can, like all of those things that we've kind of talked about. Like, I guess I'm going on a bit of a rant. What I tend to do. Maybe that'll be another one. Don't rant as much and let other people talk. But like, it just, it's always good to be reflective. And I think that's why I'm enjoying this episode so much, is it's always good to have a little bit of self-reflection.
Definitely.
Look in the mirror. Why are you in it? Yeah. So that's my little rant over. Spangler.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback on what you said there, Spence, like, especially like going into 2021, like, you know, and we've talked about like refining your collection, buy what you want, wear what you want, that kind of stuff. Whatever happens for everyone listening, don't take it too serious, just like Spence said, and don't lose your love of the hobby. Like, we're all in this for different reasons, but like, we all love this for our own specific reasons. So if you find yourself ever like casting doubt on that, take a step back and just think about it for a second, because this is a very not serious hobby. Unfortunately, it's been made serious for all the wrong reasons. But just take a step back and just understand why you enjoy this hobby, and then go from there. Just need to piggyback off of that.
Might I recommend, if you're ever doubting yourself, go back and go through the Brodinky archives. I mean, I think that's why we enjoy chatting with you so much. And also, I love the memes every day. And also, for those listeners who are paying attention, you know, we're on day four. Tomorrow's day five. We got a treat for you. Got a treat for you with day five. And yes, we're going to go all the way to 12 days. We're going all the way to Epiphany. You guys are going to learn something about this. We are in this for the long haul. But like, I think that's why we're like, bro, he's one of us. You're one of us. You're a collector, but you know how to not take it seriously, and you bring us all back down. Like, I love that. That I think is what speaks to a lot, like at least a good chunk of us, is the fact that you do a good job of being one of us and also kind of shitting on us too, because we're, you know, we need it.
And I think that's what takes some people by surprise when I get a lot of new followers. And believe, since I've been on last time, I think I'm like almost plus 4,000 followers, believe it or not. Kind of crazy.
Well, we're going to get a lot of downloads.
Wow. Yeah. So,
follow us.
But I can always tell when I get a decent amount of new followers, because they're just not used to the way I kind of do that. And either they think I'm taking myself too seriously, or I'm just out here, you know, shooting bullets at people for the way the hobby is. And I don't lash out at anybody. You know, I try to kind of just let them figure it out for themselves, because it becomes, I think, apparent when if they scroll down and they keep looking, or somebody in the comments will kind of let them know that it's not that serious. And I can understand at face value, single meme or something like that, you could say, oh, this guy's just a douche, he's just picking on people, whatever. And, you know, I have no problem hopping in the comments and just being like, dude, I'm making fun of myself on that one. I have a, you know, I owned a Panerai, or I did whatever, you know, I have no shame in that, and that's fine. And you know, it's all part of your journey, and that's cool. But yeah. And I think that's another way, that I can tell that the page is really growing, is that, I'm really starting to get trolled back now. And I don't know if it's intentional or not intentional, but like, I had a guy, and I almost had to try to figure out if this was an inside job today. I log in and I get a notification. The name on the account, and I'm not going to say the name because I'm not trying to give anybody any shine who's taking shots at me, because I think it was intentional. So the guy's name is Blank Ambassador, and it's one of the Trinity is the first name. And he basically goes, dude, I was going to unfollow you, but I wanted to instead just tell you your latest batch isn't funny and that you need to step your game up unless you're just trying to get the Tag Heuer High School crowd. And I'm like, is somebody reverse trolling me here or is this guy serious? But it's like a serious account. He's got a bunch of very expensive watches on his page. And I'm like, you know what? I just said, you know what? I think I prefer the unfollow. And I gave him the hand wave, but the followers have hopped in and it's become pretty entertaining. But at first I had to sit there and make sure I wasn't getting clowned and that this wasn't a burner account trying to get me to say something stupid. I was just kind of laughing it off. And I'm like, this is pretty funny, but it's amazing how serious and how not serious of a hobby at the same time it is. How it's almost like a caricature of itself in that, you know, when you bought your first watch, you'd never imagine that you'd spend X amount. Let's say whatever your most expensive buy was, you never, even if it's a grand, you would have said, no way, never, not me. Right. And it's not about spending money. It's about the appreciation you develop almost. And that I'm going to tie that into my last point here is like you said, when you kind of get to that jaded point, like you were talking about with Ben, I think it's important to remember that you got into it and it was originally all about the watches. It wasn't about the likes. It wasn't about who's following me. It wasn't about comments or shares or what have you. And, you know, we're all a little bit guilty of self-indulgence or inflating egos. And, you know, it's easy when you have a nice, you know, really dope watch, it's easy to just throw it all over the place. And, you know, you're not doing it on purpose, but you're generating that FOMO and you know, you enjoy it. People are like, oh, it's a great piece. What a great picture. You're like, yeah, it is. You know, thank you. But it's important to remember you got into it for the watches. And even though, you know, everything has its place, selfies, all that, like it's cool. I'm not hating on people who take selfies and stuff, but, you know, sometimes people can go overboard with what they're, let's say, revealing or what have you. And it's easy to just start piling up likes and things. And some people work in their extra hobbies if they're, you know, they race imported cars and stuff. And I think it all goes back to driving that fantasy of being like the James Bond of watch collecting, where you're just like this playboy who's, you know, living the dream. But I think we should get back to the watches sometimes. Again, we're all people behind the watches. We're all collectors, and that's what makes it fun. But just, they go hand in hand is more what it is. Once one part of the page kind of takes over the other, you know, unless you're Lugs and Jugs, in which case I'm not mad at you. No, but but I think once one part of your, you know, once you let something else take over the theme of your watch collection and it gets away from that, I think that's when you kind of have to check yourself and say, you know, all these people followed me. You know, I wind up with all these great interactions because we loved watches in the first place. So we should get back to that. And at the end of the day, it's not that nobody cares who we are, but we're all just people. And, you know, any one of us can step off the curb and get hit by a bus. And so we should just get back to what we do best, you know, appreciate and just hang out and have a good time. And I think getting back to the watches in 2021 is what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, there has been a lot of nonsense in 2020 and, you know, you make a very good point. That's what got us into this in the first place. Like we all got to know each other because we all shared this passion for these little mechanical things. Let's not forget that. And I guess one of the things that I will say, and this is going to be kind of a plug, and it's not necessarily brand specific for whatever your local watch group is, but like find other folks around you who are into this. Like do your best to find, there's an effort, there's Red Bar chapters, there's other local watch groups, there's Horological societies, things like that. Find another group of people. I mean, it could be on the internet, but I will say the cool thing is, at least how I got into it, and let's be honest, I got on Instagram to get the invite to the first Red Bar Cincinnati meetup that I went to. Like that was the only way. They were discontinuing their Facebook group. And we joked with Kid Wizzle when he was on. I was like, hey, I had to message you on Facebook to say, hey. He goes, yeah. He goes, you were on Instagram. I was like, yeah, I was only on Instagram to try to get the invite to this. He goes, I'm like, and I get why you were nervous, like because people were bringing some really expensive stuff. But we message with the Red Bar group. Like I'll open this after recording. There'll be like 30 messages I've missed. Like, yeah, it's a lot of reading. It's a lot of reading to keep up with. But I mean, like find other people who are passionate about this and talk to them. you can reach out to us. Like I do my, like, I'm like, bro, like I do my best to respond if I can. If your message accidentally gets stuck in general, I apologize. I'm just not that good with the Instagram formatting yet. Like it just, it's one of those things where finding other people who have this strange hobby can be difficult. And this can be kind of a thing where like, oh, I didn't know this existed. I can remember the first time I found Hodinkee in a blog to watch and all these others, like, oh wow. Like there are whole websites dedicated to this thing that I'm interested in. I want to make my first purchase. That's cool. And then you meet other people who are into it. It's a really fun hobby. It's a really cool way to bring people together. Like, let's remember that. Let's remember, like you said, let's remember we're all into it for the watches and we get to know some pretty cool people because of it. But let's not forget about the watches as well. Like, but let's also not take them too seriously. Let's also admit what we like. And I'll be the first to admit, we joke about Hublot a lot. But man, I will say that reissue that they did of their original one, like the original Hublot, that I've got a soft spot for that. Like, I'm not saying that I'm going to go out and buy one, but if someone were to give me like a stupid good deal on it or hand it to me, I'd be like, I wouldn't turn it down. Like, it's a cool enough watch. Like, there's some things like, let's own what we like. Like, let's own that a little bit more. Let's, you know, let's enjoy it. Let's go to Red Bar meetups or let's go to local watch club meetups and take pictures of watches that aren't ours in really, really shitty lighting. I didn't get to make my joke with John from Brew about that when he was talking about, oh, the light depends. I was like, well, you could try to see it at a Red Bar event, but don't take a picture of it because the lighting's going to be shit because we always meet in crappy bars with bad lighting, but it's a good time. Like, I enjoy it. Haven't been able to do that in a while, like almost a year, actually a year. Holy shit. Yeah, it's been a whole year. I think our last meetup was January. But like, just let's just enjoy this. Like there's no reason not to. Like that's what got us into it in the first place. We thought it was cool. Like it can still be cool. It doesn't have to be all of the things we're making it out to be. Like, let's just enjoy this again. Right? We can do that.
Yeah. And I'll show you, just because I have it sitting here, I'll show you one of my favorite guilty pleasures. And this is a little guy. I don't think I've ever had him on anything. So it's a Timex MK1 mechanical. This is a whopping, I think, 185 retail, and you can get it below that, right? And I have this thing on a cheap little five-stripe NATO that – now this has a like a faded, almost like a muted olive dial to it. It's a field watch, in case anybody's not familiar with it. And the outer of the five stripes are like a darkish cold gray. The next two are a white, and then the inside is like a pale maize, yellowish gold color. And it almost like, it doesn't even really make sense, but like, this is like my favorite super casual watch to wear. Like if I'm hanging out in sweats or basketball shorts, like I'm wearing this. And so keep in mind, I'm wearing that over my Polar Explorer 2 or my Grand Seiko or my Speedmaster. And it's never about the price, or it's never about, you know, the brand heritage or the huge story behind going to the moon or where it's been. I just like it, and it's cool, and it's lightweight, and it's just chill, and it's comfortable, and you know, you rock it, and that's what it is. And I think that's just part of exactly what I'm talking about when I'm saying just get back to what you like and get back to the watches and just enjoy even the little things. Like that's, it's again, $185 retail, and it's a Timex, so you can get it cheaper than that. It doesn't even, it's not even a drop in the bucket, like by comparison, that is, of course. But just enjoy what you got, you know? If you got them, smoke them.
Yeah. Spangler's going to be smoking all those cigars with his Panerai. You need to move to like a beach town though, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I do take up residence in the South. So like we can go out with like short sleeve shirts. So I can like expose my chest hair pretty good, smoke my cigars. Right.
You own any jorts, like cutoff jorts? I feel like that needs to be.
I think you already know the answer to that.
Yes, it should be a yes.
It is a yes. Of course it's a yes. I own multiple pairs because I love cutting off shitty thrift store jeans. It's like a passion of mine almost. Oh, this is amazing.
I was going to say, behind my backdrop here, I happen to have a humidor. So if you are ever in the New York area, not only will you fit in Brooklyn very well, Spangler, but if you want to drop by Brodinkee HQ, I not only have a humidor, but I have a hot tub that I'm yet to break in and, you know, a decent whiskey collection. So by all means.
You're making this too tempting right now.
Can you wear jorts in the hot tub?
What's that?
Can you wear jorts in the hot tub?
I don't see why not.
They're good for everything. Swim trunks. hiking shorts, casual wear, evening attire. They're good for everything.
This is great. Oh, man. I think that I don't know that we can really top any of that. Like my humidor is upstairs. I'm jealous. Bro's got a cigar in his mouth right now. It was unseasonably warm the other day, but now it is getting back to December frigidness here in Cincinnati. So I have not had a cigar in a while. My wife's probably okay with that. But you know, it is what it is. But you know, I think we've run the gamut. This has been a bit of a reflective episode. It's been a lot of fun as we've all talked about. I hope everybody has enjoyed the final episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast pause for 2020. yeah, we're really looking forward to ringing in the new year. Got some cool ideas. Not that much is going to change, but you know, talk to more collectors, talk to more people like us, talk to more, feature the whiskey a bit more. I feel like Bro's probably coming back again. You know, because why not?
If you'll have me.
If any of us could ever not, I feel like you, at this point, you could probably be almost like a guest host. Like you fit right in. Or we fit right in with you. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, whenever anybody's got the night off, just, you know, throw me a little advance notice. Filling in tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I think our listeners would appreciate Bro Dinky filling in. You know, we might get more listeners that way. But anyway, no, it's been fun hanging out with you again. We've really enjoyed. It's been almost a full year. We are 3 weeks away, three episodes away from episode 52. I don't really expect that we'll do anything big for that. We'll see. Maybe we will. I don't know. Maybe people will reach out and say, hey, it's been almost a year. What are you guys going to do? And we'll have to think of something. But you know, it is what it is. We really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed getting to know all of our listeners. We know that there are more than seven of you, but it's like, it keeps us grounded. It keeps us, you know, not too serious. We've had people joke that we make that joke too often, but you know, it goes back to the resolutions. We gotta stay grounded. We gotta enjoy it. You know, lean in, own it. We know we're not the most popular podcast out there, but we feel like it's quality over quantity, but not that kind of quality.
I've enjoyed it let's see, what are we on here for episode 49? I want to say this one is.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it for 49 episodes for 49 straight weeks. I've enjoyed doing this and I don't have a regret about it.
I'm with you there. It's been a lot of fun. We've got to meet a lot of cool people. Bro's been on twice. We've gotten to know him pretty well. So yeah, thank you everybody. Thank you, Bro, for coming back. And we wish everybody a happy new year. Take care. We'll see you next week.
And cheers on 50 episodes coming up.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. If you like what you hear, please take the time to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are enthusiasts, not experts, so don't at us. But you can find us on Instagram at whiskey.and.watches.podcast. Also, visit our website at zeitzwatches.com. Zeitz is spelled Z-E-I-T-Z.